Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Jeremiah proclaimed the coming judgment of God, his fellow Israelites paid him no heed. Life went on with no thought of a day of accounting. We in America must learn what they learned, because where Israel went, so will we. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Erwin Lutzer opens the book of Jeremiah for more lessons to take home when God judges a nation.
I simply tell you today that we are paralyzed as a nation because of political correctness, and standing for truth is going to become more difficult as the days go on. But blessed are those who, like Jeremiah, God says, Jeremiah, I've made you a bronze wall. I have made you a strong pillar, and I'm going to be with you. And even if everyone is against you, you speak my word. May God grant us many, many Jeremiahs. Lesson number 3, the faithfulness of a few is no guarantee that a nation is going to turn to God. Under Jeremiah, previously, under Josiah, a few generations back, there were reforms. They found the book of the law, they began to read the book of the law, and people began to go to church, so to speak. They began to go to temple, and they repented of their sins and all. But the reforms were too late, too little. By the next generation, everybody had forgotten them, and everybody was into their idolatry, into their immorality, and into their own way of life. So there is no guarantee. The reason I mention that is I was speaking at a conference this summer of homeschoolers, several thousand homeschoolers in Denver. And they assigned me the topic of how can we turn this country around? My opening line was, I have no guarantee that we can. When it comes to the culture wars, clearly we seem to be losing those one at a time. There are dominoes coming all the way from the White House across the nation regarding certain things. And therefore, we have no guarantee. What we have to do is to ask a different question. What does faithfulness look like in a nation that is under judgment? That's the question that I wrestle with all the time. And how can I prepare myself, my family, my grandchildren, and the wider Christian community here at the Moody Church? How can we be strong and courageous at a time when even our freedoms are being closed in upon? So I hate to be the bearer of such bad news. I wish I could say that I see revival breaking out everywhere. We're praying for that. I pray for that. I was on my face before God this week praying for this nation because I love it and I'm grieved at the direction that we are going. But we have no guarantees. Number 4, a nation can reach a point of no return. A nation can reach a point of no return. That's what God said about Judah. He said, even though Moses and Samuel pray, don't bother. He said, Jeremiah, don't bother praying, because I'm going to judge this nation. It's gone too far. There's no way now that your prayers are going to hold back the reins of judgment. Wow. When Rebecca and I were in Niagara Falls about 40 years ago, my word, I don't even feel 40. How could I say that we were in Niagara Falls 40 years ago? I remember we were standing there with a guide, and he said, you know, do you see those rocks over there? He pointed something out on the other side of the falls. He said, that's known as the point of no return. He said, if you ever get this far, the speed of the water, the power of the water will take you over the falls. So boats should never get close to the point of no return. Are we there as a nation? I hope not. I'm not a prophet. It would take a prophet for us to understand exactly how and when God is going to judge America in the future. But it does not take a prophet to know that judgment not only is coming, but judgment has arrived. Judgment has arrived. And you know, the way in which we must understand this, sometimes people say, Pastor Lutzer, do you think that God will ever judge America? I usually try to smile. You always want to try to smile when you give an answer like this. You say, my dear friend, God is judging America. You see, every sin has some immediate judgment, and then in the future, as God wills, there's accumulated judgment for a whole nation. But we're already reaping the seeds through the destruction of the family. God says in Deuteronomy 28, if you don't follow me, I'm going to destroy you. And then he goes on to say that the families will be destroyed. And 20 million children going to bed tonight with only a single parent in the home, that's part of the destruction. And then the increase in the breakup of the family, where the governor of Colorado can sign a document now that children can have more than two parents. Of course, why not? I mean, and all that, because the family's been destroyed now. It's just a collection of individuals that come together for sexual reasons and other reasons, and so it's all gone. The point is this: that is part of God's judgment, but only a part. There may be a time when there's even future judgments more severe that are national in their scope, but I don't know that. And I don't know whether we've reached the point of no return. Many of my friends think we haven't. They believe that there is a great massive revival. Now, I have to tell you very honestly, I cannot foresee a day when the same-sex marriage, as it sweeps this country, would be reversed, unless there would be a massive, great revival in the United States of America, for which I pray, but I don't believe we have guarantees. So a nation can reach the point of no return. I trust that that's not true of the nation I love so much, the great United States of America. Number five, and this blows me away. Number five, God values the human heart, not buildings and institutions. You know, when I was thinking about this, I realized, wouldn't it have been great if Solomon's temple had not been destroyed? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I see Mary Welchel here, who leads tours to Israel. Wouldn't it be great if we could lead a tour to Israel and say, come with us and see Solomon's temple? Oof, you can imagine what that would do to the tourist industry in Israel. Beautiful temple. It's up for a couple of hundred years, I think. God destroys it. And then something else, even worse to take in. That temple is destroyed. Centuries later, of course, you know, you have the small temple under Zerubbabel. Herod comes along and builds this massive temple. Massive. You've seen pictures of it. And Jesus is sitting there on the Mount of Olives looking at it and says to the disciples, do you realize that every stone here is going to be thrown down? Why? Because you didn't know the day of your visitation. Oh my. The temple isn't even finished during the time of Christ. It's finished in about 64 AD, begun 19 BC. It's finished in about 64 AD. Talking about, what, 70 or more years, 80? And then 6 years later, 70 AD, the Romans believe that there's gold in the stones. They dismantle it stone by stone. And there it's destroyed. And I say, God, think of all of the work that went into building this beautiful temple. And it would still be standing today, built with great Herodian stones of tons, some of which still exist. God says, it means nothing to me. You didn't know the day of your visitation. This beautiful structure is destroyed. Do you see my heart today? Rebecca and I were in Washington, D.C. this fall with the National Religious Broadcasters. You drive down Pennsylvania Avenue. You see these beautiful buildings in Washington. Many of them have snatches and verses of scripture engraved on them. And to know that we are consciously as a nation turning away from that heritage, turning away from the Judeo-Christian ethic which gave us unity, and in its place replacing it with a kind of relativism and the acceptance of immorality. And God may keep those buildings, and they may be inhabited eventually by other people, by other nations, by other religions. But to see that, you say, God, this nation, whatever, I know that there's argument about how Christian the founding fathers were, and I can't get into that, but there was a historical Christian Judeo-ethic base, certainly, can't be denied, to know that all that is that. And God says, I don't care about your buildings. I could destroy them in a moment of time. If I don't have your heart, the buildings don't matter. Number six, when a nation is judged, the righteous suffer with the wicked. The righteous suffer with the wicked. You see, when this nation was judged, and you had all these people going to Babylon, there were righteous people among them. That's why we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel eventually and so forth, because Daniel is one of the ones who is carried off into Babylon, and there he is living for God in a pagan culture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys living for God in a pagan culture. They don't bow before the idols of their culture. And that's why what we need to do is to learn that. So they themselves experience temporal judgment, not eternal judgment. I mean, that's the thing. The city of God and the city of man are concurrent only in this life. Eventually, they will be separated after the final judgment. The righteous in one place, the unbelievers in the other. But the point to be made is that we also suffer. If a nation goes downhill economically because of an overspending government, we all suffer as a result of that. So that's just an observation to be made. True historically, true today. I hope that you are somewhat fascinated by the fact that there are parallels between ancient Israel and today. I know that those parallels can sometimes be overdrawn, but the Lord led me to see the fact that what was happening in Jeremiah's day is happening in our country. And all the predictions that Jeremiah made eventually came to pass. Judgment did come. Now, I don't know what form future judgments are going to take place here in America, but the fact is that we are already under judgment. The consequences of sin are upon us. The breakup of the family. The fact that 20 million children will go to bed tonight in America with only one parent. We are reaping what we have sown. But at the same time, what encourages me is that where sin abounds, there's also grace that abounds, and sin and grace are concurrent oftentimes in God's purposes. That's why it's so important for you to continue to listen to these messages, because eventually we'll be talking about Daniel and his three friends who experience some wonderful grace of God. Stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer with more of When God Judges a Nation, another message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, why the righteous suffer along with the wicked. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.